You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend.
Time to talk about our favorite reality TV shows that center around love and relationships, because behind the cameras, the setup dates, and the drama, there are plenty of lessons on love, and we love that.
We today are going to break down the Vanderpump Rules reunion that is hopefully bringing a fucking conclusion to this whole scandal thing that's been all over the fucking headlines and in our lives and on our TikToks and everywhere we look for the past year and a half. Plus, we're going to weigh in on the cast and like who's siding with Tom, does the dust settle, like whether Lala and Sheena might be giving notes on how to communicate in your relationships and why Allie and James are attracted to each other, because that's just weird.
So to kick things off, we're going to start with the giant elephant in the room that we wish would leave the freaking circus, Tom Sandoval. Holy hell, enough about that name, right?
Okay, well, to be honest with you, I don't really wish that he would leave the circus.
Really?
Well, I'm going to go way against the grain here. He doesn't really bother me that bad in the sense that, I mean, yeah, he has some personality aspects that we see on the show. Clearly, I don't know the guy, Rob. It's a different story for you. But, you know, seems very confident in some ways and very childish in some ways, but hey, nobody's perfect. But when it comes to regards to the scandal, like, I have never understood why these people were all being so hypocritical. I get what he did was wrong. I don't back it. I just also don't like understand why this is the thing that they all decided to really get high on their horse about. Like, they all did.
I think it's two things. I think it's because of how it blew up, right? So everybody had to have an opinion. Like, it blew up so big and became such a thing that like the emotions were heightened like 1,010%. But also I think it's because of the length of time. Like, Ariana and Tom were together the longest out of any relationship on that show besides Ken and Lisa. So like for this to be a 10-year thing, and then also to do it, he didn't just cheat on her with some random person. He cheated on her with one of their really, really close friends. They hit it. There was just a bunch of stuff that made it into a big soap opera. So
it is a huge deal. I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm not saying that Ariana doesn't have a right to be upset and all the friends, they all feel betrayed. I get it. But I just felt like, and it's the circumstance that they're on a show.
They're on a show. And let's just remember before we go into this reunion, because the reunion happened 2 months ago, right? But like, maybe, they filmed this season 3 months after Scandoval happened.
Yeah.
So all the emotions that were going on during the show while it was being filmed, that was raw. That's where I give Ariana just the tiniest bit of grace, is because if it was 3 months after my 10-year relationship cheated on me and you wanted me to go hang out with everybody and like especially her, I'd be like, go fuck yourself, right? But like, now it's been a year and we're talking about it. So now it's like, okay, now it's time to move on. And I think the show would have been different if they waited a year to start filming again. Like, if they gave their hiatus right after the Scandoval shit and then started again this summer, I think it'd be different.
Yeah. Obviously done by design to keep it fresh. And we're watching it, you know, ahead of time. So we're all kind of over it, watching Ariana still not be over it. So,
going back to him though, I think like the Scandoval thing aside, just as a human, he sucks. It's hard to watch, in my opinion, because he is very contradictory and very holier than thou. So it seems like when they call him out on things, he has actually called other people out on it in the past, and he has excuse upon excuse for why when he does it, it's a different scenario than when other people do it, which again, kind of to your point, Lauren, it's like, well, they've all cheated on each other. So how is this time different from any other time? And why is it worse than the other times? Like, he cheated on Kristen. Kristen cheated on somebody. Jack cheated on everybody.
With Ariana.
Like, everyone's like hooked up with literally each other. Like, their gender fluidity and sexuality knows no bounds within this cast. So everyone has literally cheated. But the way that I think Sandoval handles it is really hard to watch because of how he approaches things.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I'll agree with you on the fact that when Sandoval, he's a narcissist, right? So when he gets called out on something, there's been times during the reunion where he seemed very genuine and apologetic, and then he doesn't stop talking and says something that's really fucking like messed up afterwards. You know what I mean? You're like, just stop there. Stop talking at the apology. But like, if you go back and look at like, you know, what, there's a clip of Ariana and Tom out now, on Watch What Happens Live 5 years ago, where somebody calls in and it's Ariana and Tom on Watch What Happens Live. And somebody's like, hey, Ariana, are you worried? Like, once a cheater, always a cheater. And Ariana is like the most immature person responding like, whatever happens in them, like, shut up. Like, she's so like handles it in almost the exact way that Tom's been handling it. Right. It's like, yeah, you cheated. You were the other woman in this situation. It's almost like if Raquel came out and was like, or Rachel came out and was like, oh no, somebody cheated. Get over it. That's the way Ariana handled it with Tom.
So uncomfortable. Huh? That voice. Like the
Because it's like,
well, that's what she was doing. Yeah. Literally, I'll show you the clip. That's literally what she was doing, you know? So it's like, that's where the hypocritical stuff comes in, but like,
agreed.
Like, Tom isn't handling it any different than Jax did, than Kristen did. Mm-hmm. She fucking lied about it to everybody's fucking face. Even okay, when wait, she then hooked maybe, up with Jax.
We also then have maybe to I'll remember-
take it back about Tom and say that I find every single one of them unlikable, with the exception of some of them are more likable than other people, or they are behaved better in this season than past, so they are marginally better.
I'll stick by. I think also we have to remember too, again, it's a show, it's a whole thing, but to have the entire world hate you because you cheated and did something bad, which he has said, I know what I did was wrong. Like, but I feel like, I mean, it's up in the headlines with like, what's going on in Ukraine and Scandoval? Like, come on. That he cheated on a dumb reality TV show that like they all have fucking done this. I feel a little empathy for him because it's kind of like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. All of you cheaters, you're all doing it. Calm down.
Which is what Lala says at the end. Right?
That's he didn't how I always felt. Yeah. So
right.
I think
totally Tom agree with
some,
that.
I think Tom had some good points. I think the dust is settling and people are getting off their high horses. I think it's been enough time now, but obviously when the season, like you said, Rob was being aired, it was not that much time after. So Ariana, how do we feel about her? Cause I kind of feel like the script is being flipped a little, like everyone was definitely on her side. She was wrong. She still believe that, still feel that. But do we feel a little differently? People are supporting Tom now. I think that's right. I think that's okay. They're realizing they're friends with him and those friendships carry some weight. So you don't just ignore that. But Ariana seemed pretty calm to me. I've always kind of felt like she's been able to, aside from what you're talking about, Rob, I didn't see that. I feel like she is pretty mature and calm. Like,
no,
I maybe not. Well,
no.
When,
no, if you go back and watch any of the, see, here's the thing, right?
I mean, I know she's like, I know she yells like,
yeah. I get DMs all the time from people sending me stuff. And I have friends that send me stuff all the time that are, you know, it's always Team Ariana, right? And I'm like, did you guys not watch any of this show before? Because she's always been as bad, if not worse than everybody else. Like, she's always been yelly, screamy, angry, mean, you know, like.
She gets cold.
Yes, she's had her soft moments. Right. But she's always been that kind of a person. Like, she doesn't change her stripes. And just because she's being seen as like this martyr now, like she's kind of like, you know, finding her Jesus moment and kind of like bringing it in a notch, because she knows the whole world's eyes are on her. But when they weren't, she was.
Sorry, don't you think she? I think she seems pretty cold, but she's always been that way. And I know she's had her moments where she raises her voice. But for the most part, when people confront her, I feel like she just gets very stoic and like bitchy. I'm not saying she's not, but she doesn't get like James Kennedy. I mean, I can't even start with that guy. But she just like, okay, that's not how I feel. Or, well, maybe you should shut up or whatever. But she kind of keeps a like very cool, like kind of bitchy, stoic demeanor about her most of the time. I have seen her yell, but I feel like she was also pretty good at staying calm in this particular reunion because there was a lot.
So I actually think like all like what was kind of like the through line through all the three freaking 1 hour reunion episodes was that they kept breaking the fourth wall, and it was kind of like Lala over and over again calling out the nature of the show and the show as like its own character. One, it felt like they all love this, and two, they felt like the victims of being on this show and the repercussions of that, which justifies why they make so much money. But also they called out the fact that like, there's a lot of things that happen only on camera that don't happen in real life. And the two worlds do not mix or make sense. And that's what actually causes a lot of the drama. So when it comes to Ariana and Tom, I think because they never discussed their relationship really, and they kind of stayed like, they coasted as like, some mediocre relationship that didn't have as many problems as the rest of the crazies, that is what created such a disconnect between them and then his actions, because it felt much more extreme than if he were just Jax. But then the other thing too is that they hold all the drama for the cameras, so I'm sure that creates the craziness here's of the Ariana that, like, and everybody else. But then they practice before the reunion. They're right. Media trained at that point.
But everybody in that room, in that reunion room, knows what Tom and Ariana's relationship has been. Right. And they've known it the entire time.
Sure.
I'm not on the show. I know what the relationship
is. What is the relationship, like, how would you classify
it? It wasn't good. It's like what Lala said. It's like Lala even said, like in that last, you guys didn't see the last part, like the very ending of the third of the, or did you see it? Where they were
last,
like,
episode, you're saying?
I'm just saying the last episode where they're doing the flashbacks, Lala's sitting there and she's having a monologue and she says, and everybody knows this is not their relationship. Their relationship hasn't been good for a long time. Right. So like, it's funny because like, yes, they broke the fourth wall, but what Tom and Ariana have been known for doing for a long time is manipulating their story off camera and then doing that on camera. So that there was like something that people see. So everybody in that group knows that Tom and Ariana have their like month and month and a half before where they talk about how they're going to be perceived and then go on and play that part.
Wait,
the entire time.
Really? So, okay. Yeah. So then why are we all?
So that's why when Lala starts breaking the fourth wall and everything starts coming down, it's almost refreshing because like, and with Katie calling her and being like, you know, and bitching and then not having that same, you know, emotion on camera, Lala's like, well, this is the way we've always been, except for Tom and Ariana. They've always been these people.
Okay,
you know?
So why then are any of these people like, be, you know, like basically beheading Tom Sandoval? Like, hello? This is even makes more, I mean, listen, I think cheating is not okay. But if that's the situation where they're like puppeteering their relationship for the cameras, but everyone—
Because Tom hasn't been able to express it clearly. He made it like when he was sitting on the couch with Sheena and telling her how bad the relationship was and that Ariana was going to, I guess we have to say, unalive herself if he broke up with her. Like people, everybody took that as Tom using that against Ariana, like her mental health. Right. When Tom was like, no, it's been so bad that like, this is what it's like for me to like,
yeah,
when I say I'm going
to
leave.
Not allowed to say that. That's not.
Because he's weaponizing her mental health.
Listen, facts aren't weaponizing. It just is what it is.
Right. But that's the way it came. So now he has to stop talking about like what they're, he keeps saying how bad the relationship was and everybody's, well, then you don't cheat. You just break up. But then we have a situation on Summer House where like Carl breaks up with Lindsay because of all the shit that's going on. And he's the villain also. Do you know what I mean? Because he blindsided her or whatever. But if you watch the show, you're like, she had to see this coming. Like, right. We all saw it fucking coming.
Right.
So, like, I think that when Lala – and, like, and then you see, like, Sheena. Sheena's like, it's about me. It's about me. It's about me. And that's always been Sheena. She's always been a very – what do you call it? There's a phrase for it. Pick me, girl.
Pick me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, pick me, girl. Mm-hmm. She's always been that. But, like – like for her to be to understand that Ariana and Tom's relationship wasn't great, but like her relationship with Ariana was, and her relationship with Raquel was. So like this is a kind of a bigger blow and like surprise to Sheena that all this happened, and she lost these friends out of nowhere, where Ariana saw the relationship dissolving and Raquel knew what was going on because she was in the middle of it, and Tom too,
right?
You know. Yeah. So that's there's an all interesting these
perspective, yeah. And also I think that just
and
that
I'll never take Sheena's perspective ever. No.
But
right?
That translates to like just general people experiencing life with other people in their lives. So like you have a friend who gets in a relationship. Now you have a friend who's less available. Let's just say, mm-hmm. Or you've got to hang out with their significant other. Like the choices your friends make definitely impact you if you are close friends and you spend time together.
And so, Jen, let me interject for a second, if it also affects your livelihood, because these relationships affect their livelihood, which is why Lala got so upset. But I'm just saying if for real people, but for these people, add the layer in of this is their, how they make money. Pressure.
I just can't understand how they're actually friends because of the things they, like, I would never even utter any of these things out loud to any person.
But this is the dichotomy. This is the dichotomy of the situation, right? Is that like you, the three of us, if they put the three of us on a TV show and they filmed our lives, only the three of us would understand what that's like. And only right. The three of us would know what's real, what's not real, what's being perceived, what's being edited. You know what I mean? And then we would only go to each other to talk about that stuff. And then we kind of become this, and then throw in the fact that we all work together. Right. So we have to go into work all the time and everything. You become this community where, like, I mean, I'm watching friends that are not on the show anymore, like, have not separation problems, but like, there's times where, like, they don't know how to communicate because, like, it's like we only knew how to fight with each, like, my best friends. Do you know what I mean?
That, so it's like, it does, that makes sense, Rob, because I think you psychologically get sucked into this is like how it's my actual relationships. It's how I'm making money. This is like my new bubble of life. And I'm sucked into this new way of communicating. And then you kind of forget how to be a real person when the cameras are off.
We used to make a joke. We used to make a joke that, like, cause they would always start filming in June-ish. They would always start filming. Cause I feel like we were always like for Jax's birthday and Tom's birthday. I feel like it was like June, but like in May, you could feel like in the group of friends, like, and I was a part of it, but I wasn't a part of it, but like, you could feel like the drama starting to brew mm-hmm. in like April and May, because it's almost like their genes were getting ready to like fight or flight.
I could, you know, totally, what I mean? They were getting, I could totally understand that.
Lala said at one point, she had a lot of interesting things to say. Surprisingly, she's never been my favorite, but now she is. So she made a comment about how she's only known these people and this world, like her formative years, her adult years, mm-hmm. since they were like, I don't know, early 20s. Like James Kennedy came into the show when he was 20 years old.
Their entire adult life has been right. This kind of situation.
So while they are on reality TV, this is also their reality, whether it's, you know, filming the show and like orchestrating.
I tell people that all the time. I keep saying that whenever I was like really close with everybody, they'd be like, oh, it's fake. And I'm like, no, you think it's fake? Look at what's going on my fucking phone right now. Like, and right. I'm not even on the show. Like, this is the shit's not fake. So when Lala looks over to Katie and says, you were saying this to me about Ariana. And then when the camera started rolling, this is the first time that like you pretended you didn't have that conversation with me, because before you would be open about it.
Right.
Right. Before Ariana became Beyonce and you guys went into business together, like you would be open about it. But now you're leaving me alone on this island where I'm bringing up things that we talked about, and you're acting like I'm fucking crazy or like it's not true.
Yeah, it's
so it was the first. I think this is the first time, which is why I think this show is over. To be honest, yeah, because I think they might give it one more season. But like, I think that all these relationships are getting so strained now that like, nobody really, and like, because it's been such, the fourth wall has been broken down, and because it's been so amplified as a show that people are more afraid to be them true selves like they were before, yeah, because of the backlash that they
Gina came. Said that very clearly. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. She's like, I don't want to say things because I get trolled. I get,
well, Sheena also says shit all the time and then goes straight to the comments. Sheena has a weird sense of reality when it comes to who she is and then like who she really is. Do you know what I mean? So
it's hard to know what any of these people actually mean and how they continue to remain friends. I get the whole social circle and they have the shared experience, but like going back to Lala, I will say I liked a lot of the points she made because she seemed like the only grounded person that was living in reality, real reality. But what I cannot handle is what she kept saying. She's like, I have a baby in me. I just want to make a baby. Like, okay, we get it. You're pregnant, miss. Mm-hmm. We've got it. I did appreciate when she called out her sobriety and that was important. I did appreciate when she addressed like her past relationship issues and like the differences there as to why someone might not want to talk about certain things and other things. Like she was dealing with like legal action with, what's his face?
Randall,
and like custody battles and things. And it was nice to hear also like why she wanted to give her daughter a sister, but it's also hard to take really any of them seriously when they're talking about all these things and the way they speak about human beings and like are so public about like gross things, in my opinion.
What's like, a gross thing?
Like just the way that they treat each other, the things they say, like, I'm sorry, if one more person says eat a dick, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, grow up. Yeah. You're raising children.
It's a little much.
Well, James is also the, like, he's the one that said that. And he's also like the most immature out of all.
But they all say things like that. Well, like whether it's on camera or at the reunion, it's like gross to me. Come on.
Yeah, it is a little, they can be, I mean, Lala used to be really much more crass and crude and savage, but to me, you know, piggyback what you're saying, Jen, she really had a lot of things that made a lot of sense this season and this reunion. And I think her, we talk about like her giving relationship advice. I never thought I would say this because I watched the show prior to this and I wouldn't have said this before, but I think she gives good relationship advice in the fact that you should be honest. You should be able to self-reflect and you should have boundaries after that. And that's what she continuously has been doing consistently throughout the season. And I love that about her.
Right. But the problem is that, so, cause everybody's like, well, you said this and she's like, yes, but I'm growing and I'm doing this and I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's self-reflecting.
Right. But the problem, and I love Lala, I don't think you're going to listen to this, but you know, I love you to death and I always have your back. But like the thing with Lala is that she's a very passionate speaker and she's an absolute speaker. So she speaks in passion and absolutes. So when you say, I'll never do this or I don't fucking do that or you can't do and like really passionately get behind what you're saying in the moment for you to then change your mind, you know, 2 months later, it's going to be an even more backlash because you're like, oh, but I learned from that moment. You're like, okay, well then maybe say it softer or maybe say it like, you know, not so absolute sure. That this is who you are because, you know, and that's something you're going to learn in time. But I think it's because she comes out so passionate, mm-hmm. So like, this is how I feel and this is this and blah, 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 and da, da, da. And then like, you know, half an hour down the road's like, well, maybe I'm not that, you know, it's like, well, you were just on your soapbox preaching about it.
Yeah. So, that's a good point. Speaking in absolutes, saying, I just talked to a therapist about this, saying always and never, you always do this, I never do that in relationships. That is, he said, my therapist was, you don't say those things. I mean, if they come out, fine, but it's going to make the other person, it's defensive instantly. And it's never true. So you really can't. And so in friend type relationships, it's the same thing. As soon as you're saying always and never and speaking in absolutes, it's definitely triggering people.
That's why I like to say sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah. I think, and it's hard when you're fired up to, you know, but I do think that she does have some good points that could translate into real life relationships. And I think if you are passionate and things come out of your mouth, at least have the ability to self-reflect. And I do think she has great boundaries. And I was kind of like surprised watching her. I was like, well, okay.
And Katie's got like more of like what my dad had, what I kind of have a lot in relationships, which is rage and remorse. So like,
wait, I don't see any remorse coming from Katie, but maybe you.
Wait, she did. In the third part, she actually apologized to Joe.
Yeah. Hardly.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Hardly. But then she actually did. And I think when she said that she was in a really bad place and like shouldn't have said what she said, like she was very nasty. And like it was a character assassination. So
I think that Katie's in a spot right now where the world is kind of behind her no matter what she says. And like you have a lot of scorned. You have a lot of scorned people who are like, yeah, I wish I said that. Yeah, fuck it. So like there's a time when Katie's like, I don't care, fucking choke. You know what I mean? She says very harsh things to people and she stands behind it, but that's her emotion, not her brain. She speaks with her emotion more than she speaks with what she really, how like her brain feels, because it's like, you don't want somebody to fucking choke, Katie. What if you said choke and then somebody choked? Do you know what I mean? You'd be like, I didn't mean that.
Well, then they shouldn't. I mean, the same with Tom Sandoval then. Stop talking. Maybe you shouldn't say that. You don't mean that. Words have a lot of weight in my personal opinion. And I think I don't understand what is going on there, but it is painful for me to watch.
Because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that are like, Katie's the God. Katie, like, I wish everybody had the confidence and the backbone.
I see a very hurt, angry person when I look at her. I'm like, wow.
Right. And that's the thing. She is hurt and angry. And this is what it comes back to again, right? It's like, well, why are you the spokesperson for all this stuff? You got cheated on, Ariana, and that sucks. And you got a divorce. Like, it's not like you guys have been through anything else that anybody has, or harder than anything than anybody really else has ever had to go through before. But I understand it being amplified on TV. It's just, I think Katie's going to, I think the, like you said, Lauren, the hate and the pain and the hurt will subside, especially now that Tom's got a girlfriend. Katie's going her way. They're taking a hiatus. I think everything's going to be able to settle down. The tides are going to smooth over. And I think people will kind of get back to their normal selves a little bit.
It seems like that's what's happening. And
it's nice to see that Katie and Tom Schwartz can like coexist and be friends and like even make jokes about making out with the same girl.
I have a question for you guys. Do you just, Tom, we can touch on Tom Schwartz slightly and then I'll marry this question in there. Tom Schwartz, I think he's the nicest, sweetest guy. Maybe he's a little like, but like, I just feel so bad for him. He gets picked on. I don't understand why. I think he seems harmless and nice. Leave him alone. In my opinion, you can answer to that, obviously, Rob, because I think you know him. But can I just ask a question about Tom and Katie? Do you think that they were just a bad match? That Tom gets blamed for that relationship going down the tubes. But I think we could ask a question like, maybe they just weren't a good fit. Like, she could be good with somebody else and he could be great with somebody else. Like, them together, bad combo, but nobody's really to blame. Is that accurate?
I think, look, you're right. Tom is a very nice guy. He's a very go with the flow. He's a people pleaser. He wants to make everybody happy. And he'll literally have one stand on something and be like, no, I think this. And then somebody will be like, well, what about this? Like, oh, yeah, but that too. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of diplomatic in that way, but it to a fault sometimes, right? But he's a sweetest guy and one of my really good friends, and I love him. And I don't have a bad word to say about Schwartz. I really don't. Him and Katie, it's the whole thing that we were talking about in the beginning of the episode where these guys have been together since they were young. And it wasn't like they were two people that met when they were 23 in Oklahoma and built a life together and live a normal life. And nobody, you know what I mean? They go see their grandparents every weekend and play softball on Sundays after church. Like, it's like these people are starting relationships in the middle of West Hollywood, working at a bar, drinking a shit ton, and being amplified on TV for everybody to watch. So there was a pressure, I think, for these two to stay together, especially when everybody else's relationships were falling apart. Tom cheated on her a bunch, you know, but was he following Sandoval's lead, who was also doing shit, or Jax's lead, who was also doing shit? Was Katie staying in it to prove to the other girls that she could have a lasting relationship? And I think that they only got married because of the age old thing of like, you've been with somebody so long.
That's how it
felt.
That's
the next step.
That's how it felt watching it. You know what I mean? But you know, you never know. But yeah, I get that.
And we don't have to talk about James. James, look, I'll never understand James.
Well, I have a
If you go back,
go ahead.
What?
I'm
just saying that he's somebody that was brought into this group. He was given an opportunity to come work at Sir, and then the show was already on, and then he immediately dated Kristen right when he got on. And he's been kind of like an immature kid the entire time who cries when he doesn't get his way and, you know, but causes enough drama that they have to keep him around. You know what I mean? So he's good TV, but he's bad for people. He's just, yeah, I don't even, but I'm glad that he kept quiet during this reunion.
He had his moments, but he is just, oh man, I think this is, I have a question here though. Allie seems so like relationship question. She seems so like low key and like calm and level headed. I think that these types of people like find each other, right? This like hot headed, like egomaniac, if you will, and this like chill, kind of calm, like other side of the scale, right? Like, I think they kind of want to find that. It's just when you look, they want to find that other person that will balance that out. But when you look at them on the surface, you're like, how the fuck are they together? More so, how the fuck is she with him? And even though
I think that James is a very, I think, really quick answer. I think that Allie came into this. Her friend brought her to one of James's shows. She fell in love with him as a, like the excitement of him and all that other stuff. But James as a person is somebody that came from a home where, like, when you see his parents on the show, his dad was a producer that worked for George Michael. His mom was a model actress, both had drinking problems. I don't think he got enough love and attention. So he's very quick to attach. And he's very over emotional when it comes to things, very over emotional, like, absurdly emotional. So I think what happened was he fell in love with Allie real quick, and now he is her. Like, he's that's his love of his life. Everybody's the love of his life, you know, and the best thing that's ever happened to him. So I think that she's probably, and then even when he asked her, what about marriage? She's like, I don't see that right now. And she still doesn't see it. She still doesn't see kids. If he proposed, she'd say yes, but it'd be a long engagement. I think that Allie's got a head on her shoulders. I think she's seems flighty because of the astrology and she talks slowly, but I think she's actually an emotionally intelligent person.
Agreed.
As far as that goes. I think James is very emotionally
putting him in his place where she needs to. Cause I think Andy asked like, if he were to start drinking again, what would you do? And she's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, I think she's emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
I don't like you when you're drinking. And yeah. I think it's an interesting thing to show.
And he's, by the way, I hope he stays sober. I really do because he's a much better person than what he is, but I don't know if he will. So that'll be interesting to see.
And I think,
so speaking of their personalities, like, you know, how we're wondering, like, how does someone attach to that person, the one we see on TV? And I think because they've broken the wall so many times, we can too. But when they're not filming, they're probably a different version of themselves, or if they're one-on-one with each other. And here's the thing. Like, I was thinking about it as we were talking. Like, my cousins, as an example, are all married, some have kids and whatever. When they're separate, they're like one version of themselves. When you put all five of us together, it is kind of like an explosion of energy, love, inside jokes. We're so annoying to everybody else around us. And it is all of our significant others are like, oh my goodness, did you all just revert to your childhood, like, sensibilities, and now you're playing at home and your parents are in the other room and it's like no one else is around. So with that, I will say there are, you know, two sides to every story, many different layers to different people.
Or in this case, eight sides to every story.
Exactly. And then there's the camera editing side. So, but in our case, you know, I mentioned my cousins and I'm going to just segue very clumsily too. We're going to be seeing my cousins and me very soon. Mm. You guys are going to be privy to our own very strange dynamic that you know me so well that when you see me with them at the wedding in 3 weeks, you might be like, what just happened? This is what she was talking about on that episode of Vanderpump Rules. But the reality and the reality are going to clash and it's going to be crazy because that's what happens when you put a bunch of people with big personalities together. So we, as a group of our big personalities are taking a little bit of a hiatus. We have Rob's birthday coming up. We've got Father's Day. We've got my wedding. We've got some summer travel. And we've just got some shit to sort out and have a lot of fun and see what unravels in our real lives. So that means we will not be back next week.
No.
We'll be back in a couple weeks. So stay tuned for more dating and relationship-y and wedding-y stuff. Please keep up with us on social media. We will post when we're coming back from our hiatus.
And go back and listen to old episodes while we're gone. If you're missing us, you can scroll back. We have a lot of guests that we have on that you might not have heard before. We have a lot of dating coaches. We have a lot of relationship coaches, a lot of baseball coach. Oh, no, we didn't get into sports. But we have a lot of different strokes for different folks. So you can go back and listen to those if you're really, really missing us.
Until we have our very own reunion back in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. We will be reuniting in a couple of weeks. So don't forget to stay on top of that at Complicated Show, where we will tease out when we're coming back for our reunion. And you can follow me at Jennifer Golden on all the social medias.
And you can follow me at Forever's Evers on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social medias as well.
See you in a few. Bye, Gail.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.